Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me, this is the beginning of the Dat Feeling Movement Week, so it's only right that I have the R&B crooner of the group. I have with me E. Smitty on the phone.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. And yourself, sir? Oh, yeah, well, that's good to hear, sir. I'm glad you're ecstatic about this. So,
Yes, sir.
So, like I said, I got my skills up for season 3, and I feel that you guys have a very dope story that the world needs to hear individually. So, I just want to start this off about, like, when did you first want to be an R&B singer?
Man, you know what? That's a good question. I'm from North Carolina, and I grew up, like, singing gospel music. Started singing when I was 5, and I was singing gospel music, and I love R&B music, and I swear, like, one day, I was with, like, my best friend on a school bus, and we was, like, mimicking Jodeci. You know how Jodeci do, like, bang, 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 all that shit. I did that, man, and, The next week, I was like not only mimicking Jodeci, I was like trying to sing that song. So I would say I started wanting to sing R&B when I was like 16, 17. Yeah.
So sorry to cut you off. I'm just wondering, are you using headphones to talk on the phone?
No. Speaker on my iPhone.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was just gonna say it's just a little bit distorted. That's why I was wondering if you were using a headphone, sir.
Yeah, no headphone.
Okay, I can work around this. Don't worry. So when you said around 15 or 16, too. What year would you say that it was? If you want to give out that.
Man, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. That had to be like 93, 94.
I was just a kid then.
Yeah, some good shit. That was like the good year.
So, like, who did you listen to, like, growing up, like, during that time?
Growing up, during that time, man, I mean, like I said, I listened to Jodeci. You know, Jodeci was from, you know, North Carolina, where I'm from. I listen to New Edition. I listen to the Jets. I listen to Huey Lewis and the News. I listen to the Eagles. I listen to Frankie Beverly. I listen to Donny Hathaway. I listen to Marvin Gaye. My Michael Jackson, of course. My palette for music was like, it was extended, you know what I'm saying?
So who would you say was your main inspiration when you were coming up?
My main inspiration coming up was, to be honest, my main inspiration, man, is like to give you the whole story, my main inspiration when it came to music, it was like, I was, like, wildly influenced by pop music in the beginning. You know, and I think that has resonated with my songwriting and all that stuff. Because I was, like, influenced by, you know, believe it or not, Billy Joel, the Carpenters, the Eagles, the Temptations. It was like seriously heavy, like pop music, and then it went into hip hop. Hip hop changed my life too.
Same here, sir.
I mean, it changed my life, like literally, like it shook everything up. You know what I'm saying? But I have to be honest and say that, yeah, and not honestly, like it's a bad thing, but you know, it was pop music that, you know, the melodies was like incredible to me that I heard. You know what I'm saying?
When you first got into like the hip hop era too, did you like have like did you play around with the thought about being a rapper too, or did you just know you always wanted to be an R&B singer?
No, man. Like honestly, like the whole music thing, I got into it from my family. You know, my uncle, Leon Smith. We had a gospel group called the Smith Brothers. You know, my last name is Smith, and my grandmother, Corinne Boynton, she was like, you know, she put the kids. You know, we have a huge family, so she put us in the choir, you know, early. I was singing in the choir when I was like five. You know what I'm saying? I had no inkling of what I was going to do musically, but I always knew that I loved sound, and I used to actually like draw guitars. I used to draw like a set, like a band setup. I would draw like guitars, speakers, drums, and all that stuff. I would actually draw that, and then like, yo, check this out. Draw cars and all this stuff. And you know, one day, you know, my uncle who passed away in the Smith Brothers group, he was the bass player, Johnny Ray Smith. He passed away, and my dad was the manager of the group. And one day, like I was at my grandmother's house. He had these mics, you know, just sitting around the speakers. He had this mic just sitting in the room just by itself. And I walked up to the mic and I said, hey. And I heard myself in the other room. I heard him speak and I was like, wow. So I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I was like 6, 7 years old right there. I heard myself. I was like, hey. I did it again. I heard myself again. And my dad just said, yo. Hey. He said, yo. He said, hey, boy. Get in here and sing. I went into the room and I started singing. And they, you know, a week later, I was singing in front of like 150 people for our first anniversary. You know, Smith Brothers gospel anniversary. And it just started right there.
So when would you say, like, that you first ever recorded, like, your very first track? And what was the feeling after you got that track and you heard it play back for the first time?
Man, the first time that I recorded on some, like, just recording, it was like, I had to be 12 years old, and we did, like, a makeshift recording. Me and one of my best friends, Sylvia Dowdy, we did a makeshift recording that I recorded to, and we took it down to this local local label that was in my hometown, Zeblin, North Carolina. It was called CMC Recording. And I remember going down there, and the guy was like, yo, this is some good stuff, but I think it needs to be recorded better. Like I said, it was makeshift. We just, you know, we got a recorder and we didn't know nothing about soundproofing and all that stuff. We just did.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, yeah, he was like, yo, man, I want to take y'all, you know, and ship this stuff to London because I think y'all have some. Man, I was like 12, 13, and I was like, shit, I need school clothes. So I didn't jump on it, you know what I'm saying? But I was, like 12, 13 is when I did my first, like, BS recording. But, like, real recordings, it was like 17, 18 years old.
Okay, so during like the early 2000s, were you still taking music serious?
Oh yeah. I mean, music became my life. I was serious about music before that, but music became the end all, do all. You know, in the late 90s, 2000s, and till today, it's been my, like, I can't live without music, period. You know, it started like late 90s and 2000s. I was obsessed.
When would you say that you first started to, like, because I want to break it all down too with each member too.
Yeah.
So when would you say you first met Mark Starks?
Man, MRK Starks, man. I'm gonna tell you, I met him like, I want to say like 3 years ago, and it happened to be, you know, like I say, I live in Georgia. He's from Detroit, I'm from North Carolina, we both live in Georgia. And it happened to be a snowstorm that came through. And at that time, I had discovered Instagram. And I was getting on Instagram, like, vibing with people and stuff, and going back and forth, and this and that, collecting, you know, followers. I was following people. And I found him. I found him on Instagram. And he had a mixtape out called, it was the Herman Gardens Project. When I heard that, it was like, it was amazing to me. You know, it was amazing to me because of the music. I didn't find out till later that he used J Dilla beats. And honestly, if J Dilla was alive, you know, Mark would be rocking with him. I know that. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, wow, this shit is amazing. It's amazing to me. And it really got me because, like, people that I was running into, you know, they would say that they rhyme and they got busy, they spit. And when I listened to them, they all sound the same. You know, it was no emotion, no type of soulfulness to it. So when I found him on that, I was like, yo, man, wow, this is incredible. And I actually found out that he lived in the same place where I lived at, in Marietta, Georgia, not too far from Atlanta. So it was like, wow, oh man. And then, you know, I actually, he lived down the street. He actually lived down the street, but the first time, it took me about a year or so to actually meet him. And I actually drove, like, me and my man BJ Montana, we drove like 3 hours to Augusta for a show that he was having there with Tone Beats with his Hello Tomorrow outfit. So, he was right down the street, but I never met him down the street. I met him 3 hours away, and from there, it built to what it is right now.
So, and then also, too, that's crazy how it was, like, down the street, and, like, it's just funny how life
is
like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so how'd you meet with DJ 110?
I'm going to say, yo, what up, DJ 110? I'm going to say, just like, you know what I'm saying? I love it. But, yo, DJ 110, man, actually is from my hometown, Zebulon, North Carolina. You know, Z-Town. You hear it in my music, Z-Town to Z is deep for me. But we're actually from the same hometown. Our hometown is like 4,800, maybe 5,000 people. We're a small town, but we're strong. But the crazy part about that is that me and DJ 110, we've been best friends since the 8th grade.
Oh, so you guys
know each other
for a while.
Yeah. Like I said, we're from the same hometown, which, you know, it's a small hometown, so it doesn't take much to know the next person. But I'm telling you, from 8th grade to now, and when I tell you, I couldn't stand his ass. You know, he's a lot taller now, but when you see me and DJ 110, I'm like 6'1", 250 pounds or whatever. He's like, you know, 5 foot whatever, and you see us. But back in the day, he was like way smaller, and he used to mess with me, dog. He used to fuck with me heavily. I mean, he used to say, "Yo, you can't do nothing with me because I'm too small," and I'm like, "Dude, I'm going through puberty. I'm going through trying to
Yeah, but see, that's usually where it all starts in school for some of the best collabos.
Yeah, he said that right there, and I was like, okay, and then I told him years later, I was like, you know, in my mind, I was like, you know, in your mind, we probably were like admiring each other, you know, from afar, that, you know, we didn't know how to break the ice, and that was the ice, and we've been like, you know, friends, best friends, musical partners since then. You know, but I wanted to kill him, man. I wanted to kill him, and I told him later. I said, you know what? I went from wanting to kill you to I would die for you now. You know what I'm saying? That's how serious our friendship is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that's usually how some of the best ones start too.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And then, how did you get down off Wes's Beast?
Wes's Beast, man. I met Wes's Beast. MRK, and I actually met him we went to the spot in Atlanta where MRK he was performing, and this was like the first time I met Wes, and you know, when MRK stepped away, you know, me and Wes, you know, we by the bar, we talking and stuff, and you know, Wes is when I tell you that he's like super talented and poetic and just dope, I mean, I can't say enough. But he's aggressive as well. He's very aggressive. He was like, yeah, you know, he's from Chicago, Southside. You know what I'm saying? He was telling me that, you know, I deal with him with aggression. But I'm thinking, what the fuck you telling me this shit for? You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I understood where he was coming from, because like you say, I met MRK on the strength of Instagram. Him and MRK had been friends for years before that. They actually was in the service together. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, he was being very protective of him, and I understood that. I didn't take it as like, oh, wow, why is this dude coming at me? I got it. He showed respect to me in the sense of how he was approaching me. So I was like, okay, cool. I get it. But yeah, I actually met him through MRK. And, you know, to this day, I mean, you know, that's been over close to 2 years now. I consider him a brother to me, you know, to this day.
See, and then that's what draws a strong collective too, which what I also want to get into. When did like everybody like start recording for Go Get It? Because MRK sent me that album. I think it was like a week and a half before that album came out, and I was fucking blown away by that EP. Because like I never heard.
Really?
Because I don't know if he told you guys or anything like that. And I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but he
okay.
He sent me the EP. A week and a half before it was actually released, and the tracks that got me was Hoop Shorts, No Tent, Stargirl, Signing Day, and Go Get It. When I heard that, I wasn't expecting to hear like a whole group, you know, because like I first found him through Ken Crooked, with his Family Business features, and you know, I never knew he would be such a genuine person and just send somebody who doesn't even know like the like an EP he was working on, which meant a lot to me. So when I heard it, I sat with it for like, I think it was like 2.5 days, and just come home, roll up, and just listen to it nonstop. And that's new for me.
Wow.
Because I usually don't like listen to a lot of new stuff like right off the bat like that, like repetitively. Like, you know, I like my old stuff, but I just never expected to hear, minus DJ 110. I just never expected to hear like an E Smitty or Wiz's Beast on this. It just like it kind of made me want to know like everything about this collective. And when I got to interview MLK, he shed a lot of light on that situation. But like, I feel like each member has their own unique story. Like, you know, the world needs to hear.
Man, you know what, Low, King Low, whatever you need me to call you, I'm gonna tell you.
You could just call me Low, sir.
Man, look, I'm gonna tell you, man. Real talk, man. When I first, I say thank you, and I've said this to you before, like in, you know, DM, text, you know, a few times that, you know, for anybody to actually take time to listen to what an artist has to say, the blood, the sweat, the tears. Any time that you take time to do that, man, that's not that, man. We don't take that lightly. And now to actually hear you say, like, wow, I don't, because, you know, like me myself personally, I'm not quick to music has to move me.
Yeah.
To make me say, okay, I'm a rock with this, because when it, and I'm not special. I'm not a special cat. Like I'm the end all do all. But when I hear it, and I say, wow. So to hear that from you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's incredible. When the EP was going down, and MRK was like, yo, man, I got a lineup. We actually was at the gym. We was working out. He's like, man, I got a lineup. He said, this song gonna go on something else, and this song right here gonna go here, boom, boom, boom. And then when I actually sat by and I listened to it, I was like, wow, it just made sense. And to hear somebody like yourself to say, like, yo, this right here, that, and then, like what you say, and people, some people may not understand that, but a lot of people do. When you say, I'm a roll up, and then I'm a sit back, that's like extra, extra beautiful in my book. You know what I'm saying? Because that's when you really want to take all of that in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, so, like, honestly,
it's
like,
a blessing, man.
Because, like, I am gonna lie, like, once, because I never had, all of this is new to me, like, everything this year is new for me, so for someone who I don't even know, that was the first person to ever send me something that was unreleased, and, like, I used to always have dreams about that, and just, like, it fucking,
wow.
It just kind of, I just have an ear for being on a lot of people early.
You do, man. You really do, and I'm not mean to break you. I mean, like, what you're telling me right now, man, it's really like mind-boggling, because I listened to you, of course, when you interviewed MRK, and then I went back and listened to the other ones. I think you did Terminology, Buckshot, Steel, other cats, and I was like, you know, there was other cats I listened to, and I hit you, man, like, yo, man, it's a lot of platforms out here, man, but the authenticity, and I preach that, man, I preach that the authenticity of how you deliver your shit, man, is beautiful, man. It's like you're there, like, we're all working to get to some place, but you're there even though you're not there yet, you're there, because your authenticity, bro, is like, wow, your voice. I always, like, when I heard you with MRK, your voice, man. your voice is dope.
Man, I appreciate that, man. To be honest, I don't even like my voice, but after hearing that, man, I appreciate that, sir, because I'm not the biggest fan of my voice.
Man, look, bro, like, I'm an artist, man, and trust me, it took years for me to get used to my voice, but to hear the landscape, it has, your voice has a uniqueness. Like, I was telling my brother today, I was like, you know, I was describing you. I said, my man, the Death Below, I'm actually doing an interview with him tonight. And I told him about some of the people there. And he was like, why? And even before I said it to him, he was like, wow, man, that's the Death. I said, you from Canada, blah, blah, blah. I said, he has a unique voice. And I said, I love it, because he ain't your typical, like, hey, yo, what's up, man? Hey, yo, we got to see in the house and all that shit. I'm not saying that it's nothing wrong with that. This is really you. It's been done a billion
And then, like you said, like, I'm always loyal to my guests, so once I get to the place I want to be, I will remember everybody who was there on the come up, because, like, man, my story is layers to it. But anyway, this is not about me. This interview is about you, sir.
Let me say this before you get off on that, and you get back to the interview.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, like, it's not about when you talk about layers and this and that. Let me say, man, that we as artists appreciate what you lay out and what you bestow upon the masters for us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, salute you to the utmost high, brother. You know what I'm saying? And I know we're going to get back to the interview, man, but I believe in giving it up. I believe in giving it up. And, bro, you didn't have to do this, and I'm thankful, and others are thankful.
You know, you know what makes me like that, too? You know, for my first three episodes, I couldn't get anybody to appear on my podcast. I tried everybody. Like, because I had no resume. And for Kid Vicious to be my very first guest, like, at a time where I was fucked up in my life. Like, I there was a lot of stuff going on. But for that man, because I was about to quit. Like, with everything, and for that man to, like, give me 46 minutes of his time, and for someone who doesn't even know to, like, let me interview him, like, I tell him all the time, yo, you saved my life, and, like, ever since then, like, I send him all my interviews and everything, and just, I owe a lot
to him. Wow, bro. It's deep, bro, and you know what, because you got soul, bro, you ain't no... Like I said, you didn't come on the thing like you authentic, bro. Keep that in mind, and that ain't meant to wear as a badge of honor. It's just a being. You are authentic, bro. When I hit you on that personally, and I'm pretty sure the kid bitches felt the same way. I didn't hit you, man. Yeah, but you gotta understand too. I'm a artist who wants people to. It's not like I got a billion followers and all that stuff. I'm just an artist that's like, wow, I'm appreciative that one person wants to listen to what I do. And to actually have somebody who is authentic like yourself, bro, that's incredible, bro. And people, think of, look at you talking about a resume? Look at your resume now, bro.
Yeah. I try not to trip about that, but yeah.
it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And look, I'm like, and I'm not knocking myself, but I'm like, I'm down the list as far as the, you know, as far as the popularity of the people. Bro, like I hit you up, man, 2019 is going to be a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And not because you shit on people or you just ran over people. It's because you're authenticity and your passion, bro. I am honored to be right here.
And then plus two, like I was saying before, I'm early on a lot of people. Like, I called Slaughterhouse before they signed to Eminem. I called TDE, J-Rock, Absol. I called all of those guys before they got big. I'm just trying to think who else. Like, there's a lot here. I'm just gonna look at my players. There's a lot of people who I called from early on, and they ended up to be huge. That's why when I heard everybody in that feeling, I was like, okay, well, this just let me know that these guys got something here. And, like, I just know talent when I see it. I just can't lie when I hear talent. Sorry, not see.
It's just like
when you guys go on tour, because I see you guys have a tour coming up too. I'm just wondering, would that be your first time on tour as an artist, or have you been on tour before with other artists?
I've been on tour like with my me and DJ 110.
And when you guys plan on doing the tour too, do you guys plan on recording on tour, or do you guys like have a certain recording process when you guys are all in the lab?
That's a very good question. Yeah, we're built to the point where we can record anywhere, and we're always working on, you know, different music. So definitely, when we go on tour, we're gonna be recording, because we're actually, you know, and you're getting the exclusive on this. We're actually planning on working on the Go Get It EP, you know, to come back behind the first Go Get It EP. So we're gonna be working on that. I'm working on my solo. DJ Montana has something coming. Wizards Beats has something coming. Actually, MRK should be dropping something around the first of the year. And he has something going on with his group Hello Tomorrow with Tone Beats. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, even if we didn't want to, we would have to record on the road, because we got a lot of music that we have to get, you know, get situated for releases for next year.
And two, with everybody recording their solos too, would this be your debut solo, or did you put out like little street albums or mixtapes here and there? Like, is this your actually first debut project?
Yeah, between all of us, we've actually put out our own like solo projects, mixtapes, albums, EPs. We've done that on our own, but as far as that feeling and putting out material, you know, from the label and the whole movement, this will be, you know, along with the first release being the Go Get It, that's the first, and then after that, it's going to be everybody else fired in line with their first releases on a solo tip for that feeling. So it will be.
Do you have any names of the project so people can hear the growth?
Say it again.
Do you have any names of the project so that people can hear the growth?
You know, I have some stuff on like SoundCloud that's under. And you know, it's funny because I don't know, like you heard me rhyme, but I actually like I sing and I rhyme. So I have a lot of stuff that's under Emerson Smith on the SoundCloud. Wizards Beats, he got stuff on the SoundCloud. G Focus on the SoundCloud. You know, it's a lot of music out there. It's a lot of music out there. The whole that feeling movement when we came together, it kinda like, okay, let's buckle down and put this in the proper perspective. And I think we created a nucleus that's like really dope. So it's out there. You know, you're gonna get some East Meeting that's under Emerson Smith. You're gonna get some Wizards Beast that's under Wizards Beast. Matter of fact, it's under Wisdom on SoundCloud, and Defocus is MRK Sock. So it's out there. It's out there. But
see, I would just like to hear it from the actual person's mouth, because anybody can like just look it up or something like that. But I actually think that hearing it from the artist's mouth is actually more authentic than anything.
No doubt. You're right.
And then too, I believe that you can speak things into existence, and I'm just wondering too, who would you want to work with? Like, who would you want to work with? Like, you could have any, like, dream collaboration, and then, like, who would that be?
dream collaboration with a lot of people, because like I deal with, you know, multi genres and all that. But anybody that knows me, they know that my first guy would be Not Phil Jones. Nas is my favorite artist, period. You know what I'm saying? And I really feel that one day, whether it be me singing on a song with him or rhyming on a song with him, it's gonna happen.
You know, I think you sinning on a Nas hook could be fire, because I love that Rule song by him on Stillmatic.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
The reason why I said that, too, not a lot of people can say they interviewed somebody in their top five, because for years, Crooked Eye was in my top five, and I was always telling people, like, yo, one of these days, I'm going to have a Slaughterhouse interview. I never knew I would have a Crooked Eye interview. That shit fucked me right up. But the reason why I said you can speak things into existence is because it happened to me.
Yeah. I saw that when you posted that, you was like, wow, I think you put out, you said I actually had an interview with, it was two of these guys. You know, Crooked Eye and God, it was somebody else, man. But I was like,
and Buckshot.
Buckshot, exactly. It's like, look, man. Let me tell you. Like, people talk about followers and this and that. Man, you can have a million followers or 10 followers, man. When you speak it into existence and you put work behind it. Bro, I'm telling you, man, like, yeah, you're interviewing me, man, but, like I say, sometime next year, I'm going to be interviewing you. You got a story to tell. I'm like, real talk, man. I mean, real talk. I mean, I'm thankful for this, but you have a story. How many people do it, man? How many people talk about it and don't put it, the work behind it, and you've done that? You've interviewed some major cats, man, including us, but, you know, it's like, shit, man, come on, man. So
I just try to be humble about it all.
It's making sense with what you're doing, though. Making sense. And people can feel that. I was listening to your Steel interview. Now, you talking about General Steel, bro.
Yeah,
we're talking about Smith & Wesson, bro.
It's my all-time favorite.
Come on, man. And he was like, and I read his comments like, everybody doesn't give it up like that because they and I'm not saying that you're not going to go through, you know, some bullshit with this and that, but when people respect you, bro, they respect you, and that's hard to come by.
To be honest, I always ask, like, why me? I always ask that, why me?
I say to you, why not you?
I'm just not used to it, that's all.
Trust me, I'm in the same boat, but I'm happy to say to another person, why not you? Because you're providing a serious service. And I know I'm flipping it again until I'm talking to you, but I can't help but to give it up, man. You're providing a service for people that care about this art form that we do and this music, and it's really hard to come by, bro.
Well, and I also think that in order to enjoy your artist, it's all about hearing interviews with them. That's why with you too, because like one of these days, some people are gonna be like, "Yo, what does E. Smitty stand for?" It's like, "Yo, I said that on the desk of Low in 2019." But speaking of that, that was actually a question I was actually gonna ask. What made you want to go by the name E. Smitty? Like, was that always your stage name? Because I know that's your real name, but like, was that always it?
No, you know, I'm glad you asked that. East Mitty is short for, the E is for Emerson. That's my first name. Smitty is short for Smith. I've gone by Emerson Smith as my stage name for some years now. Believe it or not, this really gonna trip you out. Like, when I started rapping, when I was like 11, 12 years old, my name used to be Eazy-E. Huh. Now think about that for a second. Eazy-E. Before Eazy-E. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like before your time.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually got that from a breakdancing book that I got when I was in school, like middle school, and you know, then Eazy-E came, like, okay, I gotta give her that name. And then my stage name became Sable. That was an acronym for some ain't black like Emerson, and for black and this and that. And then I did that. And then eventually I said, like, man, I'm just going to use my government name, Emerson Smith. But East Mitty, the actual name that was like, yo, you should, what you think about this, was given to me by MRK Stock. My man, you know what I'm saying? We was at the gym one day working out, and he just, you know, I can see it, like, while I'm talking about it right now. He was like, man, you ever thought about, like, saying, like, using your name like East Mitty or something like that? When he said it to me, I was like,
that's it.
I mean, because I'm like, you know, I was that, you know, when it comes to rapping and singing and all that stuff, I was a shy guy, man. I was a shy dude from a kid to, like, later on, man. It was like, but when it was time for me to rap, something just took over me. It was a whole different story. But he said that, he's like, man, you ever talk about East Mitty? I was like, nah, not really. And then one day, and this was after that, we sat down and we were doing, like, the rebranding process of that feeling. I was thinking about it, and I was like, East Mitty. And it felt good to me. I don't take anything on myself unless it feels right to me. Nobody can just say, hey, do this, and I go with it. It had to feel right to me, and then I was like, one day I was like, yo, I feel good. And I actually hit him up like, yo, man, thank you for giving me, you know, my name. And it's been East Mitty. It's been East Mitty for like a year or so. You know what I'm saying? It's not like something that I had all of my life. It was something that was like, hey, my man in my case said, hey, he gave it to me, and I'm like, okay. And now I'm East Mitty. I'm East Mitty for real.
See, I always love hearing stories about, like, how people's stage names come about, because it's probably the most randomest thing it could come about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, another listener... sorry to cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you a question. I could ask you, like, how you come up with, you know, Death Below, but I want to ask you this. What was the song that made you just say, like, yo, this hip-hop thing is, like, I got to have it?
Was the last part saying that I got to have it?
Yeah, I was saying that. What was the first hip hop song that you heard that you was like, "Yo, this music is amazing." Oh,
that story's actually funny. I was walking down the street one day, and I seen the CD in the grass, and I flipped it over, and it was Dr. Dre's 2001. I was just a young kid at the time. I didn't know what rap was. So I took it home, thinking, like, you know, what is this, right? So I put it in my PlayStation 1, because that's when they were able to read CDs. And I won't lie, I skipped past the first track because that's the intro. But once I heard The Watcher and that beat hit through my TV, I was like,
oh, my God.
That was something else. I'll never forget that. And then from there on.
And The Watcher. Yeah. That was Rakim and Jay-Z, I believe.
No, that was The Watcher Part 1. It was just Dre on it.
Oh man, okay.
It was Dre's Chronic 2001 CD.
I remember The Watcher having things ain't the same for gangsters, that one right there?
Yeah, because Jay did the sequel to that with Rakim, Truth Hurts, and
Dr. Rakim.
But I was on the first one, and then like I said, like the way every time I think about that story, I just think about like somebody from up above just dropping the CDs, like, yo, this kid needs to hear it because it's gonna be a part of his life for forever. Yeah, because, like, that's what everybody on that album, because, like, I had to go actually look in the store to see who was on this album, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and on everybody on that 2001 album, I followed extensively to this day. It just, I don't know, anybody in that shady Aftermath family, like, that's my favorite. And then for Crooked to let me be a part of that legacy just by giving me an interview, the shit meant to me.
Yeah. Incredible.
So
I mean, not to break you, but you're like basically, if you want to go like get you know critical with it, it's like you're like a part of the legacy of like Crooked. Like you're like six degrees of separation. You know what I'm saying? Dre, Crooked, Eminem, all this stuff, man. It's a beautiful thing. 50, you know, that's another story, though.
Yeah, it just, like, just let me know that I'm doing the right thing in life by living out my dream. Because I always knew I was always going to do something with music. I never thought it would be interviewing people. But it's like I said, it's all about watching The Breakfast Club and Hot 97 way before I wanted to do this. And, like, that's why I think I got so good. Because I, not to toot my own horn, but I noticed how my skills got improved with, like, asking questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, nice, man. You're good at it. You're very good at it.
I appreciate that, sir. So, for anybody who is trying to find an East Smitty, what would you say that your recording process is like? Because, like, I noticed that a lot of people, they get inspired differently, and I'm wondering, like, what inspires you?
My recording process pretty much it goes like this. Every day I'm writing in my head or I'm writing in my phone. Like I literally wake up with tunes. I wake up with tunes that it comes out of me, whether it be something that, you know, I dreamt about or I just wake up. But my writing process, man, is really, to be honest, like right now, I think I told you about that. I got a Christmas show that I'm hosting.
Yeah.
That I have I got a cover of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and I got a song that I'm gonna write original. Basically, let's say if Lo was a producer, Lo sends me a beat or sends me a track. This is my process. This is my process in a home. This is like world premiere. I listen to that track. Like, I listen to it for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds. I listen to it and I'd be like, okay. All right. And then I put it away. I literally put it away. I listen to it and just already know what I'm going to do with it. And then when it's time to jump on that track, I put it together. Now that process, now that it's a lot of things that's coming like really fast, and this is happening, this head, I went and recorded, and 6-7 months later, I hear the track again, and the tune is still in my head. So, basically, once I hear the track tells me what the song is going to be about, and the melody, and then I just put it together. Once I jump on it, I put it together the way it needs to be, the way it needs to be done. And that can be pretty much anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes to 5 minutes. You know, and I'm not big on like, oh, I did it so fast, I did it, you know, an hour or two. I don't care if it takes 3 days, but, you know, music kind of comes to me. It comes to me like it falls from the sky, you know.
It's natural.
Very, very natural.
And another thing is, too, this is a question I ask all my guests, too, and I think that you would be a good person to ask this question, too. Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Man, I love that question.
I appreciate it.
Say that again?
I said, I appreciate that, sir.
I love that question because I've been in the dark places myself. Anybody that's in that dark place, and a lot of times you can help you and me and I and they can't help being in those dark places for whatever reason, because I really believe that we all have PTSDs that, you know, we've gone through stuff and we push it to the back and we keep living. And then something else happens, we push it to the back and we keep living. And we push it back, we keep living. But it's still there. I just told an artist the other day who came out about being depressed. I said, number one, stay active. And if you're an artist, channel it through your music. Because the whole thing, I think, with being in these dark places and being depressed is you have to get it out. You have to get it out. You know what I'm saying? It's just like that girl that you like, you feel worse that you don't get a chance to tell her, I really like you. Because eventually she tells you, you know what, I really like you, but you never said anything to me. That's the worst feeling in the fucking world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You never get a chance to say that. So, dealing with this darkness, man, I say stay active, man. Stay active. Find a workout regimen. Find a gym. Change up. And this is coming from a person whose diet is not the best at all. But if you can eat better and all that stuff, but definitely channel it. You can't get out the bed, man, because I've been there, bro. I've been there with laying in that bed and looking at the ceiling. And then the next day, just looking at the ceiling, it's like you're not going anywhere. You have to stay active. And stay active in the best way you can. And stay positive, man. And please don't surround yourself with some negative-ass people, man. They don't take you down, man. Misery loves company, you know?
And with that being said, I think that's like the best way to end that interview. But before we go, is there anything that you would like to plug in before I let you go, East Smitty?
Man, you know what? I want to say thank you, brother. No, I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you too.
I wish you the best of the best, and I know that 2019 is going to be. It's going to catapult you to higher heights that you can even dream of. And I want to say shout out to the Gap Filling family, MRK Stock, Wizards Beast, DJ 110, NP, Chris the Maniac. And I want to
Well, and don't forget. Oh, we appreciate you, but don't forget one thing, sir. 2019 is going to be a monumental year for you, and don't worry, I'll be there watching, sir. And I wish you all nothing but the best for 2019.
Thank you, brother.
And with that being said, that's another episode from the Desk of Low featuring a member of the Dat Feeling Movement, E. Smitty.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.